I will unmute. Sorry, sound man. Just like to put a shock into your heart just to make sure. Yeah, just as people are settling with the kids, if you want to turn to Matthew, we'll get there eventually. But I just, Matthew chapter 23, somewhere in there, 22, verse chapter 22, the end. But I just want to put in a plug for our Valentine's, as Brad has already announced. Just if you're thinking of going, just register soon, as it'll go to the other churches, already has, but this will be sort of the first Sunday that the announcements go. So we'd love to have our own families, of course. We'd love to have you there. It's going to be a great evening. And if you're interested to help with some of the fun and whatever, maybe talk with Dana or Lori or myself or one of us. They've put together some pretty sweet prizes and door prizes and gifts and things, and it's going to be a good evening. And, you know, I would just encourage the single young folk who have faith, you should invite someone and make a plan. And it's going to be a good evening. We've known Barry. I don't know Barry's wife, Lori Lynn, but Barry, we meet every Thursday for a few years, I guess. Now, he leads the Calvary Church in Millwoods, and a great, great guy. I really appreciate getting to know him and chatting over the last years and praying together. And so I know he's got a good word as he's been praying and talking to us and asking about the church and lives. So if you think of him, pray that God would bless that evening as well. Just to encourage, we really are investing into the couples in this church. We are subsidizing it. We are making it as good as we can evening. And we want, you know, I would just, Lori, when we were driving to church, this is for free, okay? When we were driving to church this morning, he said, you need to challenge the men in this house to make a plan for Valentine's. Get the babysitters, do it right. This is going to be semi-formal. It's going to be an amazing banquet. I could tell you more details, but come and enjoy and make a plan for you and your wife or your fiance or your sweetheart, whoever. And you got time. I'm just warning you. Don't show up. Don't. I feel sorry for that guy who forgets and then Valentine's Day, he's like, oh. Because I'm that guy. We're planning way ahead, just so you know, to be ready. Amen. Welcome to it, anyhow. It's going to be fun. So this morning, we're carrying on with our, you know, what would Jesus do kind of idea, practices of Jesus. I put that sweet title up there, Sola Scriptura. I think it was Martin Luther. It comes from him, from what I read. But it simply means, you know, I'll read the exact definition because it's better than my English. The doctrine of Sola Scriptura has three main truths. The Bible is the supreme authority, Scripture is sufficient, and Scripture is clear. I like it. Doesn't mean that Scripture has every answer around, you know, space technology or microbiology, but what the Bible deals with. I'll read it because it's better than my English. Does not claim that the Bible contains all truth of every kind. For example, Scripture is not expected to have much to say about DNA structures, microbiology, or rocket science. However, Scripture is considered to be a more sure word than other truths, and it is the highest authority, this is a line, on matters it addresses. Amen? This is the Word of God. It's the only Word of God. It is the holy Word of God, infallible Word of God. And that's what we build our foundation and our faith and the church on, is the Word of God. Christ Himself, you know, Christ inscripturated is a word we used to be taught in college. This, look for Christ in here, and He is the Word, and He is the living Word. But this Bible is God's word to us. And God help us not to neglect such a precious, amazing gift. Is that okay? I don't want to come across as beating. I appreciated Dave's word last week. You know, he's not talking about doing a devotional. He's talking about a devoted life. Amen? And so when we talk about the Bible, I should have went and found it, but I was too lazy. Sorry, just being honest this morning. But I know I have it somewhere. The little tiny black King James paperback Bible that Brian gave me when he led me to the Lord. It wasn't that organized. He gave it to me later. But he had highlighted John 10:10. You know, I go to prepare a place for you and so on. But in that little Bible, I can see it. I can, like, some things just get burned into your soul. I remember the very first time opening the Bible and actually seeing the words and actually understanding it. And it was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And it was like, ta-da! It was, you know, I've shared this before, but when the Holy Spirit makes something real, I'm going to get to that in a minute, all of a sudden the Word is not just a book. It's not just some thoughts written down. You know, we were Catholics. We went to church pretty regular, especially Easter and Christmas, you know, the good dates. But pretty regular. We went. We prayed. Mom prayed with us at night as kids. But I just remember the Bible, whenever I saw it, if we didn't see it that much, but it was just like this big black book, you know? It was just like this, too many words, what's it talking about? Like, and then I remember when I gave my heart to Christ, I took that little King James Bible, and I'm starting to, probably Brian told me to begin reading in John, and you just start reading, and all of a sudden, it's like, those are the words I've heard forever. But all of a sudden, it means something. He is the life. He is the way, the truth. And God does love me, and it was all of a sudden shining off the pages. And so when we talk about the Bible, I pray somehow God can take it this morning beyond just, okay, we're going to have a little lesson here, to the Word of God, which is rich and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, would somehow grip our hearts again. Because Jesus was a man of the Word. He quoted the Scripture. He preached the Scripture. He lived the Scripture. That's who we're trying to be like. Amen? And if Jesus needed to pray, and if Jesus needed to spend time in the Word, and if he cared about the Scripture and understanding it, then God help us. Amen? May he help. And so this couple of weeks, I knew I was going to be talking about this. You know, every verse in the Bible almost all of a sudden starts popping with, you know, just think of David. All the men in the Bible, Peter, John, all like Jesus, all of them talked about the Word. It's a lamp to my feet, and you know, it's living and active and sharper than, you know, all the things. It's just like, it just all of a sudden, everywhere you're looking, everybody talking is just talking about the Scriptures. And that's my challenge this morning to all of us. And I would go back to some of the hints that we've talked about, you know, whether it's Sabbath or worship or witness or solitude or whatever. Start where you are. Don't say, well, I'm going to read the whole Bible this week. Just be honest. I've loved doing that 30-day shred. I've done it a few times. I'm not doing it this year. We're doing the year thing. But it's not a ritual. It's not a, you know, do a devotion. That's not wrong either, even as Dave said last week. But to find a way to get the Word of God into your soul, into your heart, into your life. And so that's the question I guess I would ask starting this morning is, does the Word of God affect how you think and how you live and shape your world and how you spend your money and how you look at sex and how marriage is and whatever? Like, the Word of God deals with life, deals with our relationships with one another, relationships with God. It's His Word. And so I'm asking you to search your heart this morning. Is the Word of God center in your life? Is it something you're building your heart and mind and soul and thinking around, this Word, understanding it? What is it saying? What does God mean? Not just words, but what is God saying to me and to this day and my life and my family. So that's my prayer in Jesus' name. May he bless his word this morning. Okay. My first point is a little bit challenging. You can put that next one up there. The problem is knowing but not knowing. And the words of Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 29. But I'm going to read a little bit more. Verse 23, and you can just listen. The same day the Sadducees came to him who say that there is no resurrection. So you got this group of lawyers, the Sadducees, religious leaders, and a little later on it's the Pharisees. And they come to him and they're challenging him. And they're asking these, they think, are quite powerful questions. And here's his answer, verse 29. That's why I put it up there. But Jesus answered them. He doesn't hold back, okay? He says, you are wrong. Full stop. Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. And he goes on and he's challenging them and so on. And then he gets down to the Pharisees. You know, you used to sing that song, I don't want to be a Sadducee because they're so sad, you see. And I don't want to be a Pharisee because they're not fair, you see. It's a powerful song. Anyhow, we used to sing a little different 40 years ago. Was that okay? A little simpler, a little more. No, I won't say it. So they challenge him, and he says, who do you think the Christ is? And then he starts answering them from David and from the scripture, and he takes them back. So just think how many times Jesus himself would take people back to the scripture, the word. But the word says, he rebukes the devil. He speaks to them. He goes after them, and he doesn't mince his words. These are religious people. These are people who study. These are people who stood in front and were claiming the scriptures and knowing. And he says, you don't know the scripture. You read it, but you don't know it. And you don't know the power of God. I mean, I don't think there's a tougher rebuke for a Christian than to hear that. And then if you go to Paul's words, 2 Timothy, I guess I need to read quite a bit of it. Let me just, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. I just wanted to make this as a basis. But understand this, that in the last days, I think Paul called us, we're all in the last days, and if he was in the last days, we're probably more in the last days. There will become times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I mean, that's just in my house. And then you get outside, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning, here's the verse, and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And he names these guys, uses examples back with Moses. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be made plain to all. But then, so if you just stop there, never coming to the truth. We've always said, you know, if you get in an argument or you're in a discussion, it's frustrating with people or someone, and you never can seem to get settled, you could never solve it. It's because someone doesn't want to. Because if people want to, they can come to an agreement, even to disagree. But if there's always this, and you go away and you're like, what was that? It's like because somebody doesn't want it. And these guys are like that. They somehow never can get to the truth. They like talking and going into widows' homes and whatever things he's talking about here and just frustrating and never coming to the truth. And the point is, there is truth. And you can get to the truth.
And God wants to reveal his truth. And if we would humble ourselves, and the rest of my sermon will get there. Just the fact that there is a truth that we can base our life on, and we can stand for, and we can believe, and we can trust. Amen? And in these last days, some of the things he's just been describing, I mean, that's like talking to my friends, going on to my neighbors. This is the day and age we live in. There's something serious. And then we as Christians, we should be those who are just confident in the Word of God, knowing the truth, knowing what we believed, knowing whom we believed, and knowing he's able to keep that, which we've committed to him. But then here's the positive side. Verse 10, he says, you, however, amen, you guys, however, we guys, right here, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecution, I don't like that one, and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, and with persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Amen? Oh, amen. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, here it is, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The scriptures, what they can do, what they are doing, what they are given to us to do, Paul just hits it right on the head. Amen? The scriptures. And so, as I said earlier, you know, when it comes to fasting or it comes to witness or it comes to solitude or it comes to whatever, start where you are and then grow from there. Do you want the mind of Christ? Do you want to think like him? Do you want to live like him? Then we have to know the Word of God, and we have to know the power of God. So I think I put it on a slide about R.T. Kendall. Beware of Father, Son, and Bible without the Spirit. It's not just about reading. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. And what R.T., and I've shared this before, what his challenge was is, you know, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's almost this anti-Holy Spirit aspect, and it sounds much more spiritual, Father, Son, and Bible. Yes, we need the Bible, but yes, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Neither the scriptures nor the power of God. And that to me is, I don't like reading that verse. I'm like, God, help me. Help me to know the scriptures, to know them, not just about them, not just some points, but what is this word actually saying to my life? And living in 2025, this new year, like, God, help me to make that come alive in my soul. What it means for his word to be a lamp, and for his word to be sharp, and for his word to lead me and direct me, and for God to speak and make his word real. And, you know, we've heard sermons many times here. Eric was preaching a while back just about God speaking, not just the word written, but what is God saying to us? What is he actually saying to us and to the church? And I want that. I want the living word that is, you know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit comes, he'll lead you into all truth. Not just to understand the words. I quote people because it makes it sound more important, but I think it was Michael Eaton who used to say, the language of the Bible, I think about a grade 4, I think that's what he used to say. About a grade 4 level could read the words and understand. There might be a few words here and there, but just, it's not difficult. It's clear. There's things in the Bible that challenge, but there's enough that's really clear that I can spend my whole life doing what I know God wants me to do without getting all confused and getting all super worked up and saying, you know, the Bible's confusing. No, it isn't. It's very clear about what it speaks about. And if you have a heart and an open mind and say, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, teach me, that's the promise of the Word of God. Amen. The Word is not static. It's alive, cutting through heart, revealing truth, and so on. I've already shared about my little black Bible. Jesus challenges, I think it's the next slide. Yeah. This hit me this week, how Jesus responded when people had questions around the Word of God. You know, we try to, he says, okay, let me just give you a few examples. Drink my blood and eat my flesh. John chapter 6, 53 to 68. And nowhere, as the people are leaving, like, we just came for the bread. You know, where's that bread? There used to be 12 baskets left over. Like, they're looking for the bread. And he shares this. And they're like, okay, we're out of here. And it's the same today. How do you explain eat his flesh and drink his blood today to a person who's not spiritually alive, has not been quickened in the things of the Holy Spirit? And it's like, you guys are blood drinkers. It's like, and he doesn't try to soften it. They leave, and he says, so will you all leave too? And finally, Peter's like, where else can we go? We got nothing else. But you have the words of life. And it's hard. We're doing it by faith, looking back. They're walking around with Jesus by faith, having to, you know, the Holy Spirit to reveal to them, not flesh and blood, but you are the Messiah. You are it. We found him. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And there's people all around him, people right in the room who didn't see it and didn't get it. And he didn't try to preach and explain, at least not what's in Scripture. We have enough, but it's not like he started to explain, well, you know, what I mean by the bread and by my body, and it's broken. And we're 2,000 some years on, and we get it. By faith, we get it. We take communion, and we remember, but it's a faith thing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes that come real to people. Otherwise, it's just, but I love Jesus because he forces us to have faith. He forces us to say, okay, God, what about another one? You must be born again. Nicodemus struggled. Comes to him at night. You know, we sing those songs. That term's been around a lot. We talk a lot of, you know, born again. But just think, what is that? Well, it's by your Spirit quickened, regenerated. You cry, Abba, Father. And it's like, unless the Holy Spirit makes that real, I'm always amazed. You see two people. One, all of a sudden the lights are coming on, and the other one's just like, it's like Brian's back here this morning. You know, he took his friend Howard Thies. I shouldn't say names because it's recorded, but takes his friend to the church. He shared with us, we're all excited about Jesus. Just like, we figured everybody wants to get saved. So he takes his friend, they go to the, finally invites him to church, and he's like just anticipating, this is amazing. And they, nothing. And they walk out, and across the street is a bingo hall, and he says, hey, that's what we should be doing. We should be going to that bingo hall over there. And it's just like, whoosh, nothing. I remember telling my friends at school, I came back excited because Brian led me to the Lord. We weren't allowed to go to church. Finally got up to the city here, went to the revival center. I remember going forward, people praying for me. It's just like heaven. It's just like, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. God loves me. There's a life for me. I don't have to be a drunkard and a bar fighter like Brian used to be and George and Dad. There's more to life. I can serve the Lord. I come back to high school. I was in grade 10. I had a little pen I got from the church or something that has praying hands on it. And I start telling my best friend, what I did. And he's like, what's this pen? What's with praying hands? He's freaking out about praying hands. And yeah, okay, it's not quite so exciting as I thought it was. And they're like, yeah, you probably are. Like, they're just, it's like disgusted because I was talking about Jesus. And so I learned quickly in grade 10 to just, you be careful who you share your thoughts with. But Jesus doesn't soften the message. You must be born again. You must figure that out. You must drink his blood and eat his flesh. All of us, 2025, same message, same truth. You have to decide, and I have to decide, okay, Father, show me, teach me. How about a couple more? I'm stuck on this one, but I like Jonah and the whale. People freak out about Jonah and the whale. Yeah, you fairy tales, you know, you got a fairy tale in heaven and a fairy tale book and a fairy tale bunch of stories. And the one story Jesus chooses is Jonah and the whale. To picture himself on the cross, dying, being buried, and rose again. And he uses Jonah. And it's like, okay. I believe. He doesn't teach. He says, I'll just leave you the example of Jonah and the whale. And they're just like, okay, great. His own disciples, right to the night he's betrayed, they're trying to figure out what this means. And then he's dead, and they're like, oh, sick. It's over. It's like, we think we would be much different. Like, they're lost. And then the ladies come and say, you know, the tomb's empty. And they tell them to be quiet. These women, they're always doing things. How about another one? That's enough. He talked about children, childlike faith, just too many. Here's a verse, Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus declared, I love this. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. That's Matthew 11, 25. We must come to God with faith and reverence. Amen? We must humble. It's like a childlike faith. It's like, okay, I'm going to trust you. Approach Scripture. It's believing it's God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. We have to see it as a love letter. I think there's a slide somewhere. Maybe I didn't put this stuff down. Study and meditate on the Word with dependence on the Holy Spirit to illuminate the truth, John 16:13. We need to pray for understanding and a receptive heart. It doesn't end. You know what I find? I'm 40, whatever. I got saved in 1974, so whatever, a bunch of years ago. And it's still the same. You have to say, God, make this word alive. Help me. I don't want to just sit here in my little prayer closet and look at some words. Make this come alive to me. What is Jesus saying to me? I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What? Okay, I'm going to keep eating. You know, and I'm just flipping pages here. There's enough here to keep us praying and seeking God. The great commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your, like, how many more do I have to read that it challenges us? We need the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to come to his word and just say, okay, feed me, show me, help me, teach me, God. By your Holy Spirit, lead me into truth. Not just knowledge, but truth of what he's saying and how does that impact my life and my future and my job and what I do with my time and everything. His word is powerful. We need to pray. Scripture renews the minds, Romans 12, verse 2, enabling us to think and feel and act as Christ does. And as we immerse ourselves in God's word, we are constrained I like that word. His love constrains us. It, like, when's the last time the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, has constrained you that you will not allow your mind to go down that way or to look at something or to follow after something or to think something or to say something or to act in a certain way? The Word of God constrains us. There's some things I'd like to say. There's things you'd like to say to me, but the Word constrains us. Gives us wisdom. Gives us courage. Like, there's just endless what the Word of God will do if we will humble ourselves and come to it and pray and ask God for wisdom and understanding. So we need to approach it rightly. Study and meditate on His Word with dependence on the Holy Spirit. Pray for understanding. Let the Scripture renew our minds and immerse ourselves in God's Word. So let's look at a practical application. Hallelujah. Read privately and corporately, silently and aloud. Memorize. I don't know what's on. Yeah, good. Memorize. Study deeply. Listen to the Word preached. What's actually being preached here this morning? Are you hearing it? What's actually being preached? You're saying, well, you know, Matthew 23, 29, you know neither the Word nor the... Yeah. But what am I actually preaching this morning? What am I asking you this morning? Does this Word change the way you live? Has this Word come alive, active, constraining, powerful, a lamp, like, don't make me preach it all again, in your life, in my life? And then, Lord, help me to pray, to humble, to listen, to obey when you speak. That's the message. And it's like, okay, we're talking about rhythms. We're talking about simplifying, not adding more things. Okay, how am I going to get a, you know, and they go together, a solitude, a Sabbath, a prayer time, and the Word of God, fasting, and the Word of God, letting it boil up, let it, meditating on it, thinking on it, being transformed by the Word of God. I think it's important what I'm saying. And there's young people, old people, I don't know. There's people here this morning. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, grip someone, grip us all, but grip us seriously, that the Word of God would be held up in its rightful place in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, shining, illuminating, making it true, bringing out the reality of His Word into my life. And then, just the courage to obey it. Obey it. Do what the Bible says. You say, but it's difficult. No, it's not difficult. There's enough that's just clear, clear, clear. Obey the Word of God. Do what His Word says. Come to it reverently. Come to it with humility. Come to it with open heart and say, God, by Your Spirit, teach me. So you can do it privately, you can do it corporately, you can read it aloud, you can read it silently. Memorize passages, study deeply, listen to the Word preached, as I said. Let the Word dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16, shaping every aspect of your life. What does that mean to let the Word dwell? It's going to dwell in me. I like pictures in my puny brain, it helps me, but just... dwell. Take a scripture. Let it dwell. And you are like me. There's times when a specific verse in the Bible just comes alive. And I forget who was sharing it in our prayer meeting this morning, but Teresa. But just asking God for a living Rhema word, just bring to life a word. And hers this morning was, if you were there, I'll take you by your right hand. That is a life verse. That's one you dwell in. God's, and you know, her example, sorry, Teresa, I'm stealing your sermon, but that it's, you just see a picture of a father taking the child's hand and crossing a street. That's what I'm talking, that dwells richly in you. And I've shared my testimonies, and you got a million of them too, of, you know, Proverbs 3:5, where, you know, lean not on your own understanding. That is a dwelling one for me. In all my ways, acknowledge him. He'll make the, you know, Jehoshaphat, the battle's not yours. Greater is he that's in me. How many, you know, like how many hundreds of verses that just dwell in you? And I said this many times before, but when Melanie and I were in that car accident a couple years back, and the car, crazy lady, sorry, she was a crazy lady. Not just all ladies drivers are crazy. No, I didn't say that. That one, because when she, after she took us out and did the whole pit maneuver and sent us flying on the highway, she comes back. I don't know, my brain, there's something wrong with my brain. I was just in an accident in Calgary, and I, so that's what I mean by she was crazy, okay? She was crazy, and they had to take her away from us when the ambulances came. But the reason I'm saying all that, besides that she's crazy, but that when that car hit us, and we're going for about 200 meters down the QE2 sideways, just like a perfect pit maneuver, and hit the ditch and did all, Melanie and I both had time. And I was saying, Jesus! And she's praying, Lord, don't let us tip over. And then I'm like, yes, and don't let us tip over. And she hears me, yes, Jesus! Don't worry about tipping, worry about Jesus. Do something here. It's like, that's what it meant to me to have something dwell in you. It dwells in you. When push came to shove, I was very thankful I was praying, Jesus. I just remember holding the ceiling, because when she said, "We don't let us roll," I'm like, yeah, we could roll. Jesus! And I remember, and I'm sorry to say it again, but I remember when that little young girl was run over in front of us in Pretoria. And the day before, we were just celebrating our new church. And anyhow, and all I remember is just, Jesus! There's no other cry. And I've shared it. Kyle, my son, he everybody started to run, but when he heard the way I said Jesus, it froze him. He knew something's not right. And I'm just like, to me, those are the examples of what dwells in you. And I want more of that. Like when I respond to my sweet dear wife, I want more of what Jesus dwells in me. Is that okay? I want the Word of God to be what's on my heart and mind. And the only way to do that is study it, memorize it, learn it, obey it, ask the Holy Spirit. Let Jesus rebuke you. You heard this morning, Jeremy's, I can smack you this morning because of his testimony in the prayer meeting. He was reading that scripture. But just, I don't know which method to come to you this morning, harsh or angry or happy, but the Word of God is this amazing gift that Jesus gives us, protects us, covers us. It's a lamp, it's a sword, it's our victory, it's the power of God, it's Jesus in Scripture, it's everything when it's handled rightly as the Word of God. And so that's my prayer this morning, that we would do whatever it needs to be done to desire this word. Fathers, would you lead your home in that? You know, you were at the marriage thing. Lori and I have talked about this week. When men go passive, you're there, but you're not. You're not leading your home. You're not praying. You're not living as the king, the example. Your household suffers. And if your wife has to be the one encouraging, let's do some Bible reading. Let's pray together. It's okay. God gives us helpmeets. Thank God. It was actually Barry who was sharing this on Thursday when we were praying about our Valentine's thing and whatever, and couples. But he's the one who's saying, you know, it took my wife, God giving me a good wife for me to actually grow up. That's what good wives do. They cause us to grow up. And then we cause them to grow up and to be more beautiful. And, you know, you've heard all the sermons. When we love and they honor, and this thing is going back and forth, and it's just like heaven on earth. That's our home. I'm just describing it. It's just, if you, yeah, it's true. If you would, no, I won't even go there. It wouldn't be good. You don't want to know what I was like before I got married. Those who knew me, it's kind of like some of you bachelors' homes right now, sorry to say. You know, I won't use examples because this is a holy moment on a Sunday morning. But that's what a relationship will do. Cause us to grow, cause us to mature. Cause, and what I was saying is men and women, let's encourage each other. Mothers, fathers, don't wait until your children have been shaped by everything else. You speak, you lead, you pray, you show them the power of the Word of God in their life. That's what we can do. We can take that horse to water, can't make him drink, but man, we can sure make the water look good. When you present the Word of God just in a way that's real and living and practiced in your home, it's the best thing you can do. The best thing you can do. So what's shaping your life? You want a mindset like Jesus? You want to practice what Jesus practiced? Then we need the Scriptures. We need to build our life on Christ. What does that mean? I'm building my life on Christ. What it means is the teachings and the truth of His Word. What He taught, how He lived, how, and the only way to know that is to know this. And then the power of the Holy Spirit making that real. Because it's not just a textbook. It's not just like four prints. Okay, I've got this thing. I memorized these seven scriptures. No, it's that, but it's then God, by your Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Amen? Can I pray for you this morning? Pray for all of us. Father, I do not want to hear those words. You know, neither the scriptures nor the power of God. I pray this morning that as you speak to us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, through your written word this morning, I pray that hearts, our hearts would be open to say, hey, God, speak to me today. Speak through your word. What attitude, what mindset, what you said to test the spirits, test the worldview, the values, the mindsets that are behind what's going on. And may the spirit behind me, the mindset, the worldview, the value system I have, may that spirit be the word of God. May it be you, Holy Spirit, that's working through my life and in my life today. Speak, Holy Spirit, speak the truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Yeah, the band can come and welcome, brother.
It's good. I was thinking about